Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Up to 4 million people across Britain and Ireland struggle with an uncontrollable urge to pull or pick or scratch or cut or bite one's own hair, skin or nails. The condition is known as body-focused repetitive behaviour, and a conference will be taking place next week on September the 13th and 14th in Oxford, organised by BFRB UK and Ireland. Caroline Harbison is treasurer of BFRB UK and Ireland, and I'm delighted to say she joins me now on the line. Caroline, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks for having me, Cormac.
Now, can we talk first of all about the condition itself? What kind of physical behaviours are we talking about?
Yeah, of course. So body-focused repetitive behaviours are a group of disorders. So they include disorders such as trichotillomania, which is hair pulling disorder, dermatillomania, which is skin picking disorder, nail biting disorder, and any other behaviour where a person has the uncontrollable urge to pick, pull or bite at their skin, hair or nails.
Okay, and do people know why they do it?
For some people, yes. A lot of people, this is in response to stress or anxiety, or even in some cases, boredom. Some people, it's more like an addiction where it feels very rewarding to do the behaviour and pleasurable. And then other people, they're actually just not sure at all why they do it.
Okay. And is there a treatment for it, Caroline?
At the moment, there is limited treatments. One thing that people can try is cognitive behavioural therapy, but has limited success. There's other types of behavioural treatments. There's talking therapies, acceptance and commitment therapy. But really what's important is that people find a therapist or a psychiatrist who can work with them individually and cater therapy to themselves.
Is it a common condition?
Yeah, so at the moment it's estimated to affect around 1 in 20 people, so that's 5% of the population. So if you think about that, that's actually pretty high. That's say more people who would have say schizophrenia. So it is quite a high percentage of the population.
Mm-hmm. And it is quite common, far more common than I would have thought then. And I assume that there's a range of behavior, is there, that from very slight to highly addictive or compulsive behaviour.
Yeah, exactly. So if you think, you probably know lots of people who bite their nails to maybe a small degree when they're anxious, and that can be fine. But then you can have the case where someone pulls out their hair to the point of having bald patches or no hair at all, or picking at the skin until they have lesions and infections because they're picking at it so much. So there definitely is a scale there from very minor to incredibly disordered.
Okay. This might be a little bit of a stupid question, but when you pull your hair out and leave bald patches, it obviously it's painful, isn't it? Do people, if they engage in this behaviour repetitively, are they inured to the pain in any way, or addicted to the pain, or what factor does pain play?
Yeah, so what's actually very interesting is for a lot of people who have these disorders, they don't feel pain. So when they pull out their hair, pick their skin, it just feels purely pleasurable. Obviously, there are others who will find that pain feeling pleasurable as well, but it's not all people. There are quite a large majority who don't feel pain when they're doing it.
Have many people with condition tried mindfulness meditation? Because I've read an awful lot of Dr. John Kabat-Zinn's program about mindfulness-based stress reduction. And it just occurs to me now, talking to you, that it may work for people who suffer with this condition. Has it been tried and does it work?
Yeah, so mindfulness can definitely be something in someone's toolbox, I would say. I can't say that this is something that is proven, as there's just so little research into these disorders. But obviously, if you're practicing mindfulness, you might be able to get your stress and stress levels down, your emotions more regulated. That might help with your pulling or picking. But if you're the type of person who aren't doing those behaviours in response to stress, that's not really going to help you. So again, it really has to be catered to the person, whatever treatment you're using.
Is it difficult to hold down a job or attend a course at university if you have this behaviour?
I think it really depends. So, for example, if you were to the point of where you have very visual damage to your skin or your hair, you might feel an immense sense of shame about that. So lots of people can then find it difficult to go to work, to go to school, to socialize, because they're feeling quite ashamed of how they look. So that is, yeah, that's definitely, that definitely could happen. Or if you're, if you've gotten infections from picking your skin too much, that again can stop you from going to work or school. Not to mention that these disorders cause so much distress, people can end up then with comorbid anxiety or depression or other disorders that then can lead to an even greater disability.
I was going to ask you about those comorbidities or associated, be it psychological or psychiatric, I don't know, conditions. Is that common?
Yes, definitely. So obviously we don't know the direction. So some people can say have anxiety first and from there develop some sort of body focused repetitive behavior, or say like myself, I first developed a body focused repetitive behavior. And then later, say during my school days, I ended up getting quite bad anxiety because of it. But we do find that there are quite high levels of people with anxiety and depression, with OCD, and then also quite high levels of people with ADHD or autism as well, because pulling or picking can also be a form of stimming in those developmental disorders.
You're a really eloquent speaker about this, I must say, and a superb advocate. Can you tell me how it's impacted your life, Caroline?
Yeah, of course. So I pull out my hair. I have trichotillomania. I pulled my hair out from my scalp. I would say that my condition is actually quite severe. I've had it since I was, as long as I can remember, when I was a toddler, I used to twirl my hair into knots and pull it out. And then I remember my first Holy Communion, the hairdresser having to cover over a big bald patch on the back of my head. And then I had it all throughout school. So then what ended up happening for me is it really, really harmed my self-esteem. And that led to bad anxiety issues and self-esteem issues later in life. Luckily, I've gotten to the stage now where I'm quite comfortable talking about this. I'm open about it. I'm on the committee of this charitable organization. We run support groups, and I've reached a great level of acceptance about it, but I'm definitely not cured. Like I was saying to the producer earlier on the phone, my head is shaved right now. That is, well, out of choice, I guess, because for me, it means I can't pull my hair. And that for me is the worst thing, is the lack of control and the pulling. So for me, this is a form of treatment, but it's not a good thing that I've had to get to this stage to shave off my hair.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's, I guess, how it's affected me. I'm great. I'm glad I'm very much out the other side and can advocate about this and teach people and raise awareness. But there's definitely one stage in my life where the only people who knew were my family and nobody else. And I was holding this massive secret.
Well, it's good to talk about it, isn't it? No more than anything else. And you're out the other side in so much as you can come on the radio. And I can tell you, Caroline, do good for some people, because a listener has texted us to 51551 and says, I'm a 50-year-old teacher and have struggled with this condition from childhood. It took me 30 years to control it. I'm glad that there's awareness around this now. I thought it was just me. And that's the benefit of you talking to us, Caroline, and also the conference that's going to be taking place soon.
Mm-hmm. So I love hearing that. Yeah. I love hearing people texting and saying those things.
Yeah, so do I. Can you tell me really briefly if people want to access or engage with the conference?
Yes, of course. So the conference is happening next Friday and Saturday in Oxford. Obviously, that's very short notice, but we do have online tickets still available. The first day is a research symposium where we have fantastic researchers from all over the world coming in and bringing their expertise to help us try and figure out why these disorders exist, why they keep going, and how we can treat them.
Okay.
And we're trying to keep that very accessible to people. So you don't have to be a genius neuroscientist to come along. You can come along with no knowledge, and we'll keep it at a level where everyone can understand.
Well, and there's also, I should say to people, if you've been affected, more help and information at rte.ie/helplines. Caroline Harbison, Treasurer of BFRB UK and Ireland, the best of luck with the conference. And it's been a great pleasure of mine to talk to you. Thank you.